You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network.
What up, people? Welcome to the Invitation Podcast with Luke Lazan. I am with the man, the myth, the legend, Adam Weber. For those of you that don't know Adam, let me just give you a small introduction here. Not only is he the lead pastor of Embrace Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and best-selling author of the book Talking with God, he is also sporting an unbelievable beard right now. And so I could not be more excited to be here with my guy, Adam. Adam, how are you, man? Talk to me.
I'm doing really well and honored to be on this podcast. And also, my beard, it's kind of a daily decision on whether it stays or not. So
I'll tell you, I had one for a little while, and my wife said, hey, I refuse to kiss you at this point. I said, let me go shave this thing real quick. And so that's what happened with me. I'm glad you have yours, though. I'm living vicariously through your facial hair.
My wife, on the other hand, says she really likes it, and so that's the only reason it stayed so far.
Really?
I did have a very good-looking, sharp guy in our church today tell me how fly I looked.
Man.
And I was like, you're not a gal, but I'll still take that because you're a smooth looking dude.
Well, I was really happy to tell you that earlier today. So no. Here's the thing. For people that may not understand how Adam and I know each other, I mean, this is not normal. This is not like I met Adam through, you know, just a conference or, you know, preaching somewhere. Nothing like that, okay? Like, I have family that lives in South Dakota, and that's unlikely from the get-go. Even more unlikely is that Adam would take my cousin to prom, but he did. And so now he just happens to lead an incredible church and is incredibly faithful to Jesus and everything that he's doing here. So it's amazing. But I want to touch on a few things here, because I got to tell you, Adam's one of those guys that I would listen to him on any and everything. I have very few people that I respect on the level that I respect him. And so, you know, I think it's interesting. We're both young. I mean, I'm younger than you, but by 10 years. However, we're both young. We're also both married. And I think this is interesting because whether you're in ministry or not, I want to get your insight as someone that's been married for way less time than you have been. In the culture today and things that we're dealing with, what are some of the hardest things about being married today in the church, in this culture, and ways that you maintain a solid marriage? What are some things that you and Beck do?
Oh, well, that's a good question. I struggle, especially early on in my marriage, with work-life balance, even more than that, specific in the church world, ministry life balance, mm-hmm. and being someone who's so passionate about Jesus. I mean, my life begins and ends with Jesus and being used by him. That was something that I struggled with big time. Thankfully, Beck's a pastor's daughter, and so she brought more into the relationship and experience and what it looked like to be a part of a pastor's family than I did.
Right.
And so there was a lot of things that we avoided, but I think for a couple different things that's always been good is we've been a team. We've always been a team, not necessarily in the way of like doing things together on stage or doing things together like here and there, but as far as a team of like, we're on the same page and I'm running things past her, and she's always just had this gift of never nagging, but just speaking truth to me in a way that I can receive it. Of, hey,
man, wives do that, don't they? They speak truth, don't they?
Just like, just helping me to know my own limitations before I know it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know my own limitations and I have no giftings except I'm a hard worker. And so she's been so good about like, hey, Adam, you got to pass on that speaking engagement. Hey, Adam, it's time to come home now.
Right.
And being in tune with her to be able to say, like, I know you're doing this because you love me, not because you hate me or upset with me, but because you want me to be able to run this the long haul, both as a pastor but also at home. And so I think just finding a spouse, the importance of finding someone who loves Jesus as much or more than you do, it's been a lifesaver for me. But I think even honestly, even practical things, like even in this last season, both Beck and I, not for marriage, we have one of the greatest marriages I've ever seen. Like, I don't know, as much as I can see as someone's marriage.
Right.
But even through the season, both Beck and I both have been to counseling ourselves.
And oh, that's
so,
awesome.
And so making sure we're healthy individually so we can be healthy as a couple has been a big, big thing. And neither of us convinced us individually to go. And we started going at different times. I think we just realized in our own life, again, away from our marriage, man, we've went through a hard season. We've gone through some trials and valleys, as we all do in life.
Mm.
And we need to make sure we're constantly staying healthy. You'd go to the doctor physically if your body was struggling. So often our emotions and our soul is struggling. We don't go to anybody.
That's good.
And so I think, honestly, just even getting practical, going to see a counselor, I think if you're leading anything, regardless of your age, just processing through things, is so important, so wise.
You know, you touched on something in there that you and I both relate on this level, and it's not a good thing to relate on, but it's just kind of the reality of the situation, if we're being honest. You said, and you have more giftings than working hard. However, you do work hard,
yeah.
And I like to think I do too, and that's a good thing and a bad thing.
It is.
I know for me, my wife would describe me as a workaholic. And I have the tendency, the hardest part about my marriage to this point, which hasn't been very long, you know, coming up on 3 years, is I tend to put my work ahead of my wife sometimes.
Yes.
And it's a major flaw in me and just a sinful part of being a human being. And so I think you and I both see eye to eye on this. We're both ambitious. Ambition's a difficult thing to rein in and understand in the church. So can we just talk about that for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, being ambitious is a major, it can be a good thing, but it can also be a difficult thing. I love Harry Potter. I don't know if you've seen Harry Potter, okay? But like, one of the things that's interesting to me is like Dumbledore talks about in Harry Potter, like he's the big powerful guy, right? But he says, he pretty much found power when he decided he needed to stop seeking it because it was ruining his mind.
Man.
And that's something that biblically lines up in truth. And so how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think it's realizing, first off, realizing if you have the gift, really the gift of ambition, that it is a gift. Years back, my very first time I went through a season of burnout, I went to see a counselor. And I was burnt out, and that's why I went in to see him. And he asked, what's going on in my life? So I told him I was burnt out, and I worked too much, and blah, blah, blah. And he asked, what else? And I kept saying the same thing. And he's like, there's nothing else. And I said, no, like, I'm burnt out from working. He's like, there's no, like, hidden major sin. You haven't had an affair or anything. I'm like, no. He said, when you came in the door, and this is a long time, ran the counseling firm that I was going to, that it was a huge counseling firm. This is the main dude I'm sitting with.
Yeah.
He said, when you came in, you had the posture of confession all over you. I was expecting you to say that you were either stealing money or sleeping with someone other than your wife. And he's like, do you feel guilty about this ambition you have? And I said, all the time. I feel like as a pastor, I should be sitting by still waters and green pastures, and my soul is constantly. And he's like, have you ever thought it could be a gift from God? Mm. And I just started bawling.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it as a gift. So I think first realizing that you might have a gift, and he mentioned, he's like, man, the Apostle Paul, the dude had ambition. The Apostle Paul, he was strategic as I'll get out. He was one of those guys who's like, hey, you're praying for me? I'm okay. I'm going to go back out. You guys keep praying. And so I think, like, just even seeing that as a gift, I think might be a huge hurdle. Now, every gift has a dark side.
Sure.
Every gift has a backside. And so you do have that gift. I think you need people in your life who can speak into you and challenge you. Your spouse, good friends, a coworker that you've given permission to say, hey, I know this is it's a gift, but
so
it can
important.
Also have a dark side. I need you to call it out. When you start seeing red flags, you need to say something.
Man, I love that, because there's a few things that come to mind. I think it's 1 Corinthians where Paul talks about how as an apostle, he worked harder than the other apostles. He says that. And then he says, but I'm the least of these. You know, it's just crazy. Like, it's like he kind of, it sounds like he's gloating on his own ambition, but he's really just saying, I have to be, you know, like, it's just, it's like, I feel like I can't be anything but that because this message of Jesus is so important. And I love that. But
if we're given awards, I would get the Hustle Award, but I consider that rubbish.
Yes, yes. He's like, look, as long as we're bestowing trophies, I'll take this one.
Yeah.
No, it's, and you talk about green pastures and still waters. It's always funny. There's so much misinterpretation around Psalm 23, but it's like, I love how in that it says, you know, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, sheep are not the brightest. And it's like, sometimes he makes me lie down in green pastures and beside still waters. And he holds that rod and that staff so that he can lead me there, make me lie down there. And then he protects me from anything else so I can get that rest from maybe even my own ambition.
Dude, Luke, you're I'm not kidding. You're preaching right now. That is totally me. God has to make me lie down. And there's times when it's hurt. Like when he's like forced me to lay down, like,
yeah.
Like for your own good, I am bringing you to your knees. I'm bringing you to this place of laying down. And thank God for those moments. They're painful and they're hard, but thank God he loves us enough to make us lie down.
That's what being a shepherd is though, isn't it? And I've heard some people say that's not what that passage means, but you know, there's no other way to interpret that word, even in the Hebrew. It's makes me, because I have to, you know, sheep are not smart. And it's like, man, you and I have talked about this. The sheep for its own good doesn't know it needs to rest or it'll burn out, you know? And
yeah.
So that's so good, man. But you know, speaking of shepherds, and I've said this to other people, I'm not making this up. I think Adam, if there's one way to describe him, I mean, he's a gifted communicator, all these things, but the greatest thing he is I swear if you took that APES test, have you know that, like the apostle, prophet,
oh, yeah.
evangelist, shepherd, teacher, you got to be a shepherd. You got to be.
Oh,
or an evangelist. I mean, just shepherds people so well. And one thing I was really excited to, number one, be a part of and endorse, and then number two is share with other people, is your book, Talking with God. I think people, that book, it is a shepherding tool to other people. I swear they've learned so much through that. But talk to us a little bit about the inspiration for that book. And then it really, I mean, it blew up too. I mean, and don't be modest or I'll ruin it for you.
I never wanted to write a book, to be honest. That's the truth. I didn't want to write a book. I've always felt so inadequate to be used by God. Mm. And yet he makes the weak strong and he uses foolish things. And so like in those two areas, I want to boast. I'm the most overqualified person in that I know in those two areas. Like I'm like, God, if you can use me, you can use anybody.
Right.
And so there was probably a lot of insecurity that just like, no, I don't have anything to be used. There's nothing like, God, you can't use me. Well, close friend. He, who's written a lot and helps other people write and all this kind of thing. He came and spoke a couple different times at Embrace, and every time he mentioned writing a book,
mm-hmm.
and I just said I wasn't interested. His name's Tim Willard,
yeah.
one of the best. I love Tim. So Tim, every time, has encouraged me, and finally he said, "Can we grab coffee?" And we sat down. I know exactly where we sat down in a coffee shop in Sioux Falls here, and he just said like, I know you don't want to write, but I feel like something, God has put something special inside of you that needs to come out.
Mm.
And so for me, he was really kind of challenged. Like, I feel like it's a faithfulness thing, man. And it's a guy that I trust enough. He's not a flashy celebrity pastor type guy. He's just this faithful, steady Eddie type. And so if coming from him, I'm like, man, I need to listen to this. So he's like, have you ever thought about writing? And I'm like, well, I've considered it before. And he's like, what would you write about? So I shared a leadership idea. He shot it out of the sky. And then I mentioned a book on prayer. And as soon as I said that, his face just like dropped in this crazy way. He's like, that's exactly what I was going to tell you to write about.
Man.
And I said, what do you mean? And he said, oftentimes, whether it's a tweet that you post or I have a typewriter, so I use typewriters a lot. I type notes out.
That's amazing.
And so he's like, a lot of times you'll end with a prayer, or you'll have prayer just as a part of our conversations of this. He's like, you would be such a good voice in that. And so he opened the door, found me an agent, one of the best, Chris Farabee is his name. And so that's what led from one thing to the next. But it was a book on prayer. really my hope for the book is that it would connect with someone who's never understood what prayer is about. Just kind of the basics of just like, what does it mean that we can speak with God and he hears from us and all this kind of thing. So I hope it's for that person, but also for the longtime Christian that's kind of gotten in a rut. They have a deep, true love for Jesus, but at some point it became mechanical, whether they're, you know, traditional with liturgy or even just contemporary, like whatever, and just they got in a rut. Hopefully my honesty and cheesiness can somehow break through that and maybe just kick them into a new season in their own prayer life that would just like shake them up a little bit. And would encourage them just to speak with God in a new, fresh way. So that's kind of the hope behind the book.
No, and let me just say, I mean, I get a lot of books, and, you know, people will send them to me. This one really, really impacted me because it really touches, too, on, you know, it's like Jesus says in the Beatitudes, and he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he's like, you know, just being honest in your prayers, man, you know, not trying to be flashy or this or that, just saying, you know, God, this is where I'm at. This is what I need. I need you, man. I really need you. And that book really brought me back to the basics instead of trying to be, even just in my own time, overly wordy with my prayers, like that was going to do something extra. So, I mean, you guys got to check that out. It's unbelievable.
What continues to hit me even since writing the book is the only time I doll up my words is when I'm around somebody that I don't know well.
Oh.
Like the only time that I ever try to edit my words, the only time I end up saying stuff that doesn't sound anything like me, it sounds like some fraud, is when I don't know the person. But when I'm with like someone that I trust and love, my words are totally unedited. Not in a disrespectful sort of way, but word for word directly from my heart.
Right.
And like when I'm with my dad, I never edit my words.
Right.
I'm just, Dad, I'm scared or I'm struggling or I'm hurting.
Right.
For this specific reason. And so I looked at my prayer life, even after writing, I'm like, am I talking like I'm speaking with a stranger that I've never spoken with before?
Right, right.
Or am I speaking with my Abba Father who loves me, who's crazy about me, who's pulled me through so many like hard, crappy seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled me out of a pit that I dug with my own two hands. I'm like, if I'm speaking to you, God, I just want to come right as I am and just meet with you. And a longtime friend of mine, he'd passed away two summers ago, Roger Fredrickson, this legend, Richard Foster, who wrote Celebration of Discipline, saw Roger as a mentor. He lived in town here. And when I asked him about his prayer life, 93 years old, he told me he was just barely scratching the surface.
Man.
And I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Man.
And I'm like, when I turn 37 next year, I want to be able to say that same thing. I'm just barely scratching the surface. Like, I'm just barely scratching the surface of God. So.
Right. Well, Let me get to a few last things here. You know, I have this thing where, you know, I'm calling this podcast The Invitation, and there's a lot of different reasons for that I talked about in the trailer. But, you know, you're one of the best at those, you know, in those shepherding moments of extending invitations to come and be a part of God's story, and then also extending the invitation for people who maybe don't even know Jesus to even just come and check it out. Not that they need to commit to joining into that story yet or committing their life to Christ,
yeah,
but just coming into a place where that is something that may or may not happen, just to inviting them to check out who Jesus is. And so for you, why do you think an invitation is so powerful and so important? Because you're one of the best at doing this. And I'm not going to ask everyone this question. I'm sure they're thinking, is he going to end it like this all the time? No, you're just really good at those things. So talk to me some about that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to kind of answer in a long roundabout way. So we're in an area of the country, and it's what I grew up, so I can say this. We're predominantly our Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist. And so really we don't hear a lot about a relationship with Jesus in this area of the country. Really your faith or your salvation can be tied to a few quick things. Get baptized as an infant, get confirmed or go through catechism, and then honestly be a genuinely good person. And that's kind of the whole story. And a lot of people feel like once you get confirmed or you make it through catechism, you've kind of graduated from God in a lot of ways.
Oh, wow.
And we wouldn't put that even in a negative tone. It would just be like, what is? Like, mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of this understood thing. And so then when life hits, or when life doesn't hit and the life goes up and to the right and you have everything, but you still feel like you have nothing, the question a lot of people in this area of the country are asking is, what is there more? Like, there's got to be something more. My marriage isn't happy, and so maybe I married the wrong girl, or this promotion, and so maybe it's a little bit of this, or like a little bit more sex, or maybe it's like a different job. Like, it's not God, because I've already graduated from God. I'm not really sure what else it is.
Man.
And so that's really the tone in this area. It's not like, I know I'm a sinner and I need to get back in church and right with God. We don't say that really in this area of the country. Instead, it's like, gosh, something's missing and I don't know what. And so in this area of the country, the invitation is you get to tell people there's more.
Man.
There's more. You actually didn't hear the full story. Like, God doesn't want us to jump through hoops. Instead, he wants to know us, like every part of who we are. Paul says, I want to know Christ. That word was also used by Jewish, in the Jewish culture, to explain like sex. Like, I want to like intimately, not sex with God, but I want to intimately know Jesus. And so you could just tell people there's more. So that's kind of the culture. And then within my own soul, it's like, I know what it feels like to be lost. Like, I know that feeling in my bones. And when I'm struggling with anxiety, or I'm wondering why I'm going through whatever, I'm so thankful that I know I can reach out to God and say, God, I have no peace, but would you be my peace? Mm. Lord, I screwed up, but would you be my grace? Mm. Would you be mercy to me? And so I oftentimes I fall asleep and I can't imagine going through some of the things life throws at you and not knowing you can reach out and talk with Jesus or have that relationship with Jesus. So that's the culture. That's the need inside of me. And so the rest of my life is like, I just want to tell as many people as I can that there's more. And not in a weird sort of way, but just saying like, man, this is my story. This is what God has done inside of me. And it's one of the gifts of knowing your own culture and being from the area, because it's like, I can understand with everything Adam's saying.
Yes.
Like, I can just, yes. I can, that's my story too. I went through confirmation and I felt like I graduated from God. And then when you offer that invitation and just speak into it, then you give the ability of saying, here's this invitation to know God in a way that you've never known before.
Man,
that's a long answer.
I think I just got resaved. I'm not sure.
Oh,
but I mean, seriously, and for those of you, like, I love that you even brought in, like, unless you're really into biblical exposition, I mean, it's like when that word that's used, like, it's used sexually, but from the standpoint, like, of knowing someone in their nakedness, in the
yes.
most vulnerable, true way, fully known, fully loved, like, everything I want all of you. And so
yes.
I'm glad you hit on that, you know, that's huge. But, okay, so I know we're running out of time here. Adam, tell me a little bit about what's next for Adam Weber, Embrace Church, and where can we find you? Where can we have people checking out your stuff so they can be edified?
So right now I'm in a season, honestly, of just focusing on the church that I'm at. Like, I've more than ever before, like, just really focusing on the local church, my love and my passion. And God's up
that.
To something special right now. Like, we've gone through a season of pruning here at Embrace this past summer, and yet
Preach.
Out of pruning comes more fruit. And so just in a season of waiting for God, really to provide that fruit and show that fruit in just this beautiful, sweet way. So just exciting things. We're doing something called the Embrace Network. There's a lot of churches all throughout the region here who are in towns of 100 people, literally, and their churches are closing. And, well, there's still people there, and so we don't need churches to close. And so what we're doing is offering, hey, we can get you the message real time on a Sunday. And so you don't have to pay a pastor if you can't afford one, but you can utilize this and then have volunteers lead the church. So currently we have 5 churches throughout the area that are joining us every single week on in their sanctuary with technology.
Unreal.
And I just want to lean into that even more. And so my prayer is like, God, would you just somehow open the doors for this to happen in a really powerful way? We're also kicking around the idea of doing kind of a residency thing right now.
Oh, yeah.
And hoping
yeah.
to start that this next year. And so just excited about that. So that's some church stuff. I am writing a book in process right now, book 2 with Waterbrook Multnomah, and which I'm so grateful to be writing. So I'm writing a book basically how to love people like Jesus. And my first line right now so far is, I've never struggled with loving people more than I have right now. And so
Man.
I'm coming through a season where I don't want to love people. And so it's kind of ironic.
You guys can get Fighting with God coming out soon.
Exactly.
Here now.
But I think it's going to be a really, coming out of a hard season, like there's a richness that I think you get when you come through a hard season and write on something that's been in that season. So that, but you can find me online. I'm most active on Instagram and Twitter, And then adamweber.com, I try to update that as much as I can. Usually on Tuesdays, there's something new that comes out.
Yes, I love it. Well, Adam, it has been amazing having you on, bro. I'm telling you, people, you need to check out what Adam Weber is doing. It's amazing. He's amazing. Adam, I'm so thankful for you, dude. I love you. God has been amazing. You are just a gift. You are absolutely the personification of grace. And I'm telling you, God's best for you is yet to come, man. You are the man.
Well, I'm so thankful for you, Luke, and just the person that you are, both online, just encouraging so many different people, including myself, but more than that, person to person, just appreciate who you are and what God has in store for you is just exciting. So I'm excited just to sit back and see what the Lord's going to do in and through you.
Man, I receive that, dude. That's awesome. Well, guys, we're believing the same things for you. Get ready for more from the Invitation Podcast. We cannot wait to have you guys listening again here soon. Catch up with Adam Weber online on his website, and we will see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to The Invitation with Luke Lauzon. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.